we are in the age of content. And let's say that you are paying for the marketing as an agent. You are paying for the future content because you own the rights to that content then if you've paid for it. And then you can have it chopped up, done whatever you need to. And that's your social media for a long period of time or whatever you need to promote.
So I used to do professional photo and video for a lot of real estate agents around the San Diego area and all of Southern California. And it was awesome. But I oftentimes got the call, hey, you know, we're going to cancel this shoot because this home's going to sell in the next couple of days. We already got, you know, 17 offers or whatever it was in the crazy, crazy times. And I always told them, hey, I think you should keep this shoot. It's a beautiful property. It is an absolutely beautiful property. And you can use these photos and these video to then market yourself in the future. You can put them in every single one of your listing presentations, kind of show the market, show the farm exactly which property sold. And it's not your cell phone photo at that point.
Welcome to Rethink Real Estate. My name is Ben Brady, and this is a real estate podcast aimed to deliver sales strategies, marketing tips, and business insights from industry experts and myself to build a listing-focused business for the future. Let's get into it. Well, Christopher, we are back with you yet again, the marketing messiah. I don't know. I'm going to try out a few nicknames, okay, over the next couple of episodes and see whether or not we can get something that's going to stick for you, buddy. Okay. As much as you're probably not thrilled about that, I'm going to test it out.
Yeah. Messiah might be a little bit too strong. Let's stay away from Messiah. I don't know if I have all the answers or if, you know, I'm the chosen one, but yeah, I'm definitely here for right now and you can come up as many nicknames as you want.
See, typically, again, that's just a trait of mine is that using a word, I have zero meaning of what it is. Does Messiah mean all the answers or?
I mean, it's very biblical. Yeah. Like I know that.
So. What about marketing Buddha or something like that?
I mean, again, that has all the answers. That is the chosen one. So.
let's calm down on the chosen one. But I think that speaking of all the answers this week is that we were talking about doing something about marketing a property versus marketing themselves. Is that what we're going to talk about this week, Chris?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a big difference when it comes to from USA versus Australia when it comes to marketing yourself as an agent versus marketing a property. And I think having a clear differentiation of each marketing plan would be beneficial to any agent out there. So if they clearly outlined the difference between I'm going to market a property with this piece of content, this piece of deliverable, and then I'm going to market myself. If you kind of put things into two buckets, you could start understanding, you know, where your gaps and your limitations are.
Can I ask first, before we dive into the marketing of a property, when it comes to selling that property, can I ask your perception of the word marketing? It's like the word culture within real estate. It's so overused. I just don't think they're talking about people saying words they don't understand the complete meaning to myself. I think that when the word marketing comes out of most agents' mouths, they do it because they think they have to say that. What is your definition of marketing a property if it's for sale, Chris? What would you say that definition is?
Yeah, so for marketing a property specifically, I would say, what can you do to increase exposure for a property? That would be marketing in my opinion. Now, you can flirt the lines between marketing and advertising pretty quickly, which
give me your definition of both of those.
Yeah, so advertising is a little bit, you know, it's tactical. It's inside of marketing is how I would say it. So it's things like, you know, signboards, it's things like digital marketing placement, it's stuff like that. That would be advertising. So paid advertising and stuff like that. While marketing is kind of your strategy or your plan as a whole. To get the most exposure for that property. We all know that competition breeds higher price. Doesn't matter kind of how it works in property marketing. If you can get more competition to a property, you're most likely going to get a higher price unless you kind of mess it up from an agent standpoint. And so I would say anything you can do that increases the exposure of a property, that would be property marketing. So it doesn't matter if you're sitting out there and you're creating videos for it, you're doing signboards, you're putting it in newspapers. It doesn't matter from that standpoint. A lot of those, again, were advertising things, but the entire strategy as a whole would be marketing to drive more eyeballs to that property.
Okay, so let's think about it this way though, is that let's say that I've got a property and I'm marketing that property. So first of all, the definition of advertising, would you say the definition of advertising would be advertising yourself, okay, versus marketing a property?
No, so I could, you could advertise both. So you could advertise yourself or you could advertise that property. Depends on, again, what's your end goal from that standpoint. I would say from an agent marketing standpoint, I would look at it as how can you leverage this business to bring in more business?
Got it.
So how can you take this property, get exposure for this property that might not necessarily need to lead to more buyers going through this property, but can actually lead to more sellers using you as an agent in the future. So that's where I would differentiate the point between property marketing and agent marketing.
It all towards that business plan that we put out that's focused on the sphere of influence and building that network from an advertising or a marketing perspective is how do we draw more of those people through it so that they're aware of your brand. Might be a better layering technique, all of those different things in the local area, if in fact it is your core area where you're doing some business. Chris, I want to get your perspective though, is that where do you see marketing dollars lit on fire? And what I mean by that is that, you know, the marketing dollars that are just lit on fire and that they're just have no purpose whatsoever. Because I often say is that the best marketed property in the world could be the property that is unsold based on price. So at the end of the day, if the price is wrong or the seller's expectations are out of line, you know, where do you draw the line on a marketing perspective for that property itself if it's wildly overpriced, but maybe the agent doesn't know that? Like, what is your perspective on that?
So I mean, that's a great question. 100%, that's a great question. When we look at properties today in today's market, most properties on the market are pretty similar, right? Mm. Especially if a buyer is looking in a specific neighborhood. So if they're looking at a specific farm area, they're looking at, you know, Gig Harbor, where I live, they're looking in here, most properties are the same. There's a lot of properties that were built in a certain time when this market over here boomed. And then there's new builds that are on the play in play right now. But that's basically the difference between the market. Is it a new build? Is it an old build? From there, if I'm looking at a price point, I'm probably getting similar baths, similar bedrooms. I'm getting similar square footage, similar land. So what's the difference point of that? It's, you know, amenities, it's features, like proximity to things that I want to be at, you know, like my gym and stuff like that, coffee shops. But outside of that, it's really on price. Everything is on price at that point. So, and that would be marketing in any industry. So if you look at anything from technology to cereal in your cereal aisles, if every cereal and you walk down an aisle for breakfast, if every cereal box was blank and all looked the same, they were all, you know, red, they just said cereal across the thing. And the only different point of it was price. What would we be choosing on? We'd either be choosing on, I want the highest price because my perception is that it's going to be the best quality food for me, or I want the cheapest price because they're all the same. Like, I'd be thinking on those lines from that standpoint. I probably wouldn't pick the middle. I probably wouldn't. I would pick either the cheapest or the most expensive, depending on my personality. And I would say the same thing happens with homes. I would say most homes on the market are the same, outside of, you know, actual quality and actual representation. So then it's how do you express that in the marketing? How do you set those properties apart from each other with either the values, the differentiators, the features of the property, and how do you clearly articulate that to the market so that it is worth that price at that point? So we know, I mean, we've been in real estate for, you know, decades at this point between us. And so the fun part of that is a kitchen remodel can be completely different to one person than it is to another. And so if I think I have the best property and my price should reflect that because my kitchen is the most beautiful kitchen ever, well, this person doesn't spend any time in their kitchen and they want to come through, they don't value it the same way. Like, they just absolutely don't. So how do you market that to the right buyer at that point who does find values in the points that make your price better?
Well, sometimes it doesn't come down to the features of a property either. No. It comes back down to captivating a marketplace at a particular time. And I'm going to lead this into where I naturally lead a lot of conversations, into the fact that a lot of people ask us why we get, you know, 43% more groups of people interested through an auction property. And it's because I believe that the way word auction and then the way that it's advertised through the bidding to start from price and basically removing price from the equation allows the marketing that is done, which is very, very minor. Let's face it, agents, like, let's be honest. And Chris, obviously you can disagree or agree, whatever you like, but, you know, realistically they throw it up on the MLS and hope that it syndicates through enough websites and that is really enough, because, you know, a little bit of local marketing or things along those lines is very rarely done. And if it is done, it's done to such a minimal capacity that it doesn't have much of an effect. So leading into it is that getting 43% more people through the front door of an auction is one, curiosity of, hey, what's this auction thing? Two is that, hey, possibly I can get a deal because I've never met somebody that wants to overpay for real estate. Three is that we're sort of removing price point away from the equation to attract all types of people, because this is another part that really frustrates me in an agent mindset, Chris, and we're sort of steering a little bit away from marketing, but not really, is that they market to the people that they think have the money to purchase that property versus the people that are just slightly under that range. And I hate it when people make decisions for others. You know, like an agent might not show somebody something based on budget or whatever it may be, but we can prove time and time and time again that somebody that said they'll only pay $800 ends up paying $950 in a transparent and open level of competition. So all of those things sort of lead into the marketing factors, right?
100%. So I was in real estate for about 7 years before I even met you, Ben, or I even met anybody in the team in Harcourts and learned about this auction process. So I'd never been overseas. I'd never seen how the market works in any other market other than Southern California. So I was along the lines of, this isn't even a thing when I first heard about it. And so, but when I did hear about it, I thought, this is instantly a marketing tactic. Price is a part of marketing. 100% is. It is one of the P's of marketing. Price is one of them. Yeah. And so we don't think that price matters, but it does. It's the ultimate driver of everything we do. And these days, I would say it's even more relevant than ever. Everything from anytime you're shopping on Amazon, you look on a couple different listings to make sure that, you know, you're getting the best price. You check multiple websites now for literally any product. Why wouldn't you do the same when it comes to real estate? Mm. And people do. And so if we take that out of the equation, and again, I went through 7 years of real estate before I even thought about this. But I was like, if you take price out of the equation, you just get people in the door to look at the features of the property. It's the same thing of like, guess how many followers I have without actually looking how many followers on Instagram I have. Like it's those things that kind of pique curiosity. And it's like, well, based on this post, it looks like he's been doing this for a while. And so he probably has thousands and thousands of followers. No. And I might have hundreds, but they don't know that from a price standpoint as well. So if they have a perception of what the price is, you know, who's for us to stop that? Like, I would say the biggest sales negotiation tip when it comes to technology or B2B SaaS or anything like that is don't talk about price right in the beginning. And real estate agents kind of circumnavigate that and go the complete opposite way and talk about price right off the bat. And it's like, it's the only talking point down from there.
Yeah, I totally agree. Or, you know, some agents might say that are in a marketplace now, it's not happening as much anymore, is that it gets bid up over the list price. But I will say this is that strategically or statistically, if you were to have a look at this, is that people will only go so far over a list price because as soon as they're over that traditional element of list price, they are so uncomfortable knowing that they've paid more than what they really needed to in order to actually purchase the property. They feel uncomfortable in that sense. And when they feel uncomfortable is that then it is likely going to crack or cripple at the wrong point of that transaction later.
And I would say, I don't know if you were over the United States at this point yet, but there was a giant boom in San Diego real estate when it came to pricing at one point, and it was called variable pricing.
Sure.
And it was literally the only thing every agent gravitated towards once the MLS allowed us to do it. And it was massive. And you had to educate every single client on why, or every single seller, why you would be doing this, why you would put a low point and why you put a high point. Mm-hmm. And you had to walk through this in every listing presentation. And then most of the time, the value came somewhere in the middle. And it was great because you could put a high range on this and you could put a low range and say, hey, we're not going to sell at this low range. We don't have to sell at this low range. We don't have, you don't have to sell your property like that. We're not forcing you to do anything. But here's the high range, way above your expectations. Let's try to land somewhere in between. Let's try to land either somewhere in between or above your expectations at that point. And that was variable pricing. This is the same strategy as auction, but this like auction literally doesn't have a top. And so take the top off of variable pricing. You're in the same situation. And that's, again, marketing 101 when it comes to price.
And I think that though, the one thing that, and segueing away from this for a minute, is that that got absolutely taken away from the MLS's. Sandacor obviously created an MLS rule to say that they were only going to advertise the high price that you put on that property. So, you know, know, at the end of the day, that's why I hate MLSs in most of the cases, having an influence on a marketplace to not let the market decide with its own right of what is actually the market value in its own standpoint. Now, the thing that I do want to do, though, is I want to segue over to the Australian side of real estate, is that a lot of people are critical of the fact that we speak so much about the model that is Australian and New Zealand real estate versus the US. But, you know, at the end of the day, this industry being able to see so many different countries the way that they do operate with the real estate has certainly given insight, not only from a marketing standpoint, Chris, when you were there and you saw, but also from a pricing standpoint. Give an example, auction is obviously a thing. Now, auction here in North America, we had to do a bidding to start from price that is substantially lower than the value of the property to give people some indication, but also to fit to the systems. In Australia and New Zealand, there is no price when it comes to auction. It just says auction. There's also PBN, price by negotiation, okay, or price upon inquiry or whatever they or you want to call it, which is actually zero price on just a normally listed property. Then there's range pricing as well. It is about letting the marketplace find its own feet so that therefore the sellers have an opportunity to say yes or no to what the consistent feedback is in the market or lack of consistent feedback in the market to make a decision. Now, the other part of this moving away from pricing, one, it makes the marketing of a property more palatable and acceptable and casts the net even further. But the other part that I think is just unbelievable, Chris, and you pointed this out before, is the fact that when I got to North America, one of the first things that I realized is that nobody asks the sellers to pay for marketing dollars up front. So in Australia and New Zealand, just for those that aren't familiar with that model, is that what would happen is that an agent goes into a listing presentation, they present a marketing plan or multiple marketing plans of how much that seller would then contribute themselves before the property sells to market the property, an insurance policy on peace of mind that they saw absolutely everybody in the marketplace, essentially is how we put it previously. Now, that would include online, that would include print, that would include multitude of options. And sure, some agents don't present some other options or as expensive plans. But when I was doing it, my job within corporate was going in and actually asking marketing for marketing dollars upfront from the sellers, okay, and also moving properties over to the auction process if they needed to be, or assisting our agents within Harcourts in Queensland. And my average spend was between $8,000 and $15,000 upfront from a seller. Okay. Now that would be a seller of maybe a $600,000-$800,000 home, okay, all the way up to maybe 1.5-2 million. It wasn't really much over that, but they would then spend based on the level of peace of mind that they were looking for. But what it would create is this level of commitment that was so unbelievable to them, committed to selling the property. So,
I would say level commitment on both sides, because it would be level commitment for the sellers to sell the property, but it would also be a level commitment for the agent to actually market the property versus marketing themselves. Like, they actually had to market a property.
Absolutely. And Chris, there was a level of scrutiny by the sellers and a level of pressure that was put on that agent, and still is from the accountability perspective. Not only were most of them auction dates, and we've already spoken on previous episodes about the accountability that auction creates because it's a set public date, there was a level of accountability to, hey, get me an offer, get me a result, because I've just spent $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, whatever it may be, on marketing upfront that I cannot get back. Okay. So that level of commitment was unbelievable. I said this to you before we started the episode and we were talking about this, but you really resonated with me because I'd forgotten about it. When I got to North America, I did not understand for the first 12 months the flippant and blasé nature of sellers when they would put their home on the market and then be like, oh no, it didn't get what I want, I'm taking it off. It was unbelievable. When a property is put on the market in Australia or New Zealand, there is a 90 to 95% chance that that property will sell. Now, the sellers aren't obligated to sell, but they have set a commitment to understand that market at that particular time, and they've spent money doing so. It obviously gives them the peace of mind to say yes.
100%. And I would say the same thing is the agent, or I mean, the sellers here in America, they're not committed to selling. So from an agent standpoint, it's almost a risk. It's a gamble to put big dollars behind your marketing spend. And I understand that. That is 100%. It's like you're playing at the casino, you're playing a roulette wheel at that point. Will this seller sell? 50-50 chance, maybe. They could take the home off the market. They could do all these different things. And then I just wasted all of these thousands of dollars on marketing spend that did result into anything for me. And I think that's where you need to be very clear and strategic when it comes to your marketing plan here in the United States. But that's the big difference in Australia, is that the commitment from the seller is tenfold, yeah, if not more at that point, because they've invested their hard-earned dollars at that point.
Absolutely.
To then sell the property alongside of you. It is a true partnership over there. You're just the engine as the agent to try and get the results that they want.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but wanted to ask a quick favor. If you're seeing any value in what we're providing, we'd love it if you could like, follow, or subscribe, whether you're listening on a podcast or watching us on YouTube. One step further is that if you can think of anybody in your community that this episode could help, we'd love it if you could share it to them so we could cast our message further and broaden our audience. Thanks again. The thing that I really liked about going into a presentation in Australia from a marketing sense, which, you know, again, I haven't really brought over here too much because of the resistance that we had so early on. And I was not only trying to get an acceptance for a process that was different, then sprinkle a little bit of marketing, you've got to pay it up front on top of that. And you've got not only somebody that's curious about the auction process and how it's going to work, but also it's like, get out of my house now that you're asking for money up front. So, you know, so at the end of the day, we definitely haven't brought that over here from a vast array perspective. But I think the thing that I really enjoyed doing in Australia was taking in different plans and multiple different options that we could take. Whereas an agent here really only presents sort of one plan, if they give a plan at all, because the most feared phrase in real estate is not how much is your fee, it's how will you market my property, Chris?
100%. And I would say if any agent here is going on a listing presentation anytime soon and doesn't have marketing in their listing presentation, I hope that there's someone else who you are competing against who has that marketing element to their listing presentation. I 100% hope it, because that's the clearest way to win. It 100% is. I've only been on, I don't know, maybe 10 to 20, maybe 30 listing presentations, somewhere around there. We've lost one. We lost one. And it was because every time that I was there, we were wholeheartedly diving into marketing. And that was the only purpose for me to be there, was to talk about how we are going to market your property to set it apart from others in the marketplace. That was it.
So give an idea. Let's give some examples of what they should have in a marketing plan. Do you think, first question though, before we dive into that rabbit hole, is that, do you think there should be a little bit of a paid option from a seller as well that you might be offering? I know it's strange, but maybe like $1,000 or $2,000, that if you wanted the added extra peace of mind onto this, maybe this was it. Do you think that would fly or no?
We ask it all the time. I mean, we ask it all the time in the sense of, do you want to stage your home? Do you want to get better photos? What do you want? Like, do you know what I mean? And so like, if it's done from a staging perspective, if it's done from a curb appeal perspective, why can't it be done from, you know, a digital marketing perspective, or, you know, even just a newspaper ads, or putting flyers out there, better flyers and more flyers out, like whatever it is that you're trying to look to do that you think will work in your marketplace. Why not? At that point, I'm obviously biased. I've seen the success that it happened in Australia, New Zealand, everywhere else when it comes to vendor paid marketing. And it was tremendous. But we were asking the same thing when it comes to staging for homes that we didn't want to put together the staging and we didn't want to pay for. We clearly outlined, you know, here's a staging company who could stage your home. It is going to help you get more money for your property by seeing furniture and seeing the layout of the space with it. When it comes to the stuff, it is a vacant property right now. We know that they get less like dollars. They just do. And so we've already asked for this. I would say staging is a form of marketing. It is.
It's funny. We've had two properties in Tuscany in Italy that we've taken to auction. Now, it's funny, we've only done them out of the necessity for a client that has had a successful auction here in the States, who's like, you have to sit, like we had a really great auction for them. We got a tremendous result for them when other agents couldn't. We got like $250,000 more than it was previously listed at, traditionally priced. And he's like, you've got to do my Italy properties. And we literally didn't want them. Like, we don't do properties in Italy. There's no way to really expose them that much, whatever. But we said to him, no problem, we can do both of them for you, but you have to pay at least $5,000 each in marketing upfront so that we can actually have a chance of marketing them here in North America, so that then we might be able to get you a transaction in US dollar for that property. Obviously, we'll have to deal with all the titling issues and all that type of stuff later. But it was, it's interesting when you have nothing to lose and you're really in a situation, the things that you will ask and people will say yes to, versus when you've got a little bit on the line and you think that you need that listing or you're too attached to the outcome, the things that you won't and the things that you'll offer up front. Like, do you think the philosophy could work, Chris, though? Like something from a commitment, a equal risk perspective, is that maybe you ask them to pay, you know, a few thousand dollars up front for some of the extra marketing to get extra peace of mind after you've presented it to them. They've said, yes, that's a great idea. Well, actually, that's a $2,000 or $3,000 added expense in order to actually get that level of exposure. Would you be open to paying that up front and I will deduct it from my commission once we have a successful result? But if we don't, then you obviously are left with the $2,500, because too often we don't see the shared risk in marketing, is that you're going to pay. That's why we see agents do so little for that property. So too often they say, well, here I'm going to spend, I don't know, $1,000 on photos and this, that, and the other. Not much at all to expose the property. They make it sound overhyped to the seller. And the seller then is asking midway through the process, what are you doing to market my property? Whereas if it was the case that there was some shared risk in the equation, I think that everybody would feel better about it. Obviously, the sellers aren't going to want to do it. It's whether you've got the commitment to do it. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I think we are trying to overhaul the entire real estate process in United, in North America, which we all always do have lofty goals when it comes to that standpoint. Yeah. I think there's a lot of things that agents can be doing from a marketing perspective and just outlining and clearly explaining their marketing efforts inside of their listing presentation that don't cost a tremendous amount of money. I do think, like to answer your question, 100%, I think if there is shared risk, there's shared commitment. And so I think it makes perfect sense to try and go down that route. But yeah, I almost think we need to get to the basics of agents just pretending like the MLS isn't there, and how would they get the most exposure for their property.
There's a great, that is a great statement. That is a great statement, because again, just so everybody's clear about what we're talking about in the Australian and New Zealand category of things, there is no MLS.
Yep.
Zero. It's like you don't have to technically put the property online if you don't want to. Okay,
People don't put it online at all because of the portal cost. So imagine over there, and let's paint the picture a little bit from that standpoint. Over there, there is no MLS. So you don't put your property in a central repository where all the agents get to see it. There's no such thing. So if an agent wants to understand your property, they either need to know directly from you from that standpoint. There's also no buyer agents over there. No. There is, but they're just not at the scale. And they're ramping back up and stuff like that. But there's not buyer agents to that scale. So
I'm cutting you off here for a minute because I've had a thought.
Yep.
What is your thoughts then? Do you think that because there's two sides to a transaction, being listing commission and buyer commission in North America, that actually has stifled marketing efforts or marketing initiative when it comes to real estate? Because let's be clear, in Australia and New Zealand, it's really between 1.8 and 2.5% to sell your property. Of course, the seller can afford to obviously contribute. We're here anywhere between 4 and 6% to sell your property. Do you think that that's an effect?
I think the fact that you're giving buyer commissions, and I think they're okay. I'm coming from the side. You do. I think if you're there's going to be buyer agents in the market, you do need to pay them a side of the commission. There should be that standpoint. But I think that's a marketing tactic in itself. It's like, okay, like this one gets 1.5%, this one gets 3%, and everything like that, and you're anywhere in between. Okay. Now, which one is the buyer agent going to show their seller or their buyer to? Like, which home are they going to sell it to? So now you're almost having that conversation with your sellers. And like, we have to give, 2.5% or whatever, because buyer's agents out there won't even show this property at that point. So you're almost putting a gatekeeper in front of them. And now the seller or the buyer has to go find that on Zillow or Trulia or Redfin or something like that, go around their realtor, and then they have to send it to the realtor. Like, why didn't you show us this property? And that's a terrible, terrible situation, because now you've already created this negativity between the two of them. Right. And now, are you going to get that home sold to that particular buyer? Probably not at that point, unless they really, really love it.
Well, you look at Canada, and Canada's average fee is, somewhere along the lines of 2.5% and 3%, and that is shared. like buyer side and seller side, if there is a buyer representation, which there most of the time is. And they have a model that still is very much like the North American model from a paid marketing perspective, is that the agent is, you know, on the hook, so to speak, to do that. So it's interesting to see that maybe it isn't how expensive it is to sell your home in the US that has stifled marketing efforts or marketing initiatives. It might just be the way that things are.
And I think there's a clear use for buyer's agents in the market. I know we've talked about them going away, and we've talked about, you know, in Australia, they've gone away, and now it seems like they're ramping up a little bit when it comes to certain situations in certain marketplaces. I think it's actually good for the marketplace to have someone to negotiate the selling agent with. I just think it is. I know if I was selling home, I wouldn't want a buyer's agent, because then I can influence, you know, someone who doesn't buy real estate every single day, and I can kind of change their perception pretty quickly. But from a fairness market standpoint, I think buyer's agents is a good piece to have in the puzzle. But I think from the biggest piece from a selling side is the fact that there's just not enough of marketing, like there is no MLS, like there is in Australia. So in Australia, they sit down and they don't have any MLS from that standpoint. They have the portals, and all the portals are paid. So it's not like Zillow, where it's free to put your listing on Zillow. It's not that situation.
Like it, we're talking $2,700, $3,500 to get on what is called realestate.com.au. And it might even be more than that. It might even be up to five now, because when I left, I think it was like 1200. And then I heard it was 2500. And, you know, they've created this monopoly of being able to online market, and it is just exorbitant now. That's no question.
Yeah. And so for here, if we're putting a listing on Zillow, we put it on there for free. Now, there are ways to boost that up. There are ways to sponsor it and premiere and everything like that, and get your name and your property up there higher. But to put your listing just on there, it's free. They understand they want the eyeballs there, and they want all the data there. They've always wanted that from a Zillow perspective, and, you know, ZTR, Zillow truly a realtor, from that standpoint. Over there, on the other standpoint, they want money. They're like, to put your listing on here, you have to pay, and we're going to give you the eyeballs. And they do give you the eyeballs over there, because that's where everybody's still going, just like everybody goes to our Zillow and Trulia and realtor.com from that standpoint. The difference is, well, that's all we do over here, and that's only a fraction of what they do over there, because from their standpoint, a lot of those agents don't want to spend that drastic, or not even the agents, a lot of the vendors, the sellers, don't want to spend a drastic marketing fee to put it on those websites. So they're saying, how do we do it differently? How do we do it, you know, how do we do it more guerrilla, and like more guerrilla from a standpoint of guerrilla marketing?
Oh, this is great. He's gangsterized marketing for a second, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a normal term, G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A, guerrilla marketing. How do we do it with more sweat equity versus actual paid equity in the marketplace? So how can you get me the exposure? I'm not paying $3,000 to put this on REA. I'm the seller, and I'm saying, I'm not paying $3,000 to put this on REA. What else could you do? Okay, well, we could put a giant signboard in your lawn. We could do this. We could do that. We could, you know.
So let's give some examples. What could an agent do in North America to differentiate themselves in marketing? First of all, it's making a distinct effort, which will differentiate yourself. But like, give some itemized things that they could put on their marketing plans that they take into a presentation itself, Chris.
100%. So, and there are some overlap between, I want to get into that later, but there are some overlap between property marketing and agent marketing. But the biggest things that you could put out there. Signboards, obviously, we always know that. But most people don't clearly explain that in their listing presentation.
Right.
What the signboard is, how big it is, why it's there, what colors, like what's on it, what's in the flyer box, like all those things. All those are marketing tactics. Put that inside of your listing presentation 100%. Professional photos. If you're in 2023 at this point and not running professional photos and video for your listings, I'm sorry, you're coming from someone who has cameras sitting behind me. That is a terrible, terrible choice.
Like, so you're saying on every listing you should do a video at least. Okay.
I would say for video specifically, the video could be anything from you shooting it on your phone and just talking about the property as you walk through it, jumping on Instagram Live, Facebook Live, and, you know, and you could talk about the property, answer questions directly on there, all the way to a professional video walkthrough. Like, there's definitely sliding scales for this. Like, if I was doing a condo, I'm probably not doing a professional video walkthrough. I'm just not.
Just the touch on a few of those little things, I guess, is that if we were to touch on just a couple of those, the signboard, obviously you're restricted by HOA and a few little things, 100%. Right? But agents, when they're paying for it, they're so focused on reusing the same sign over and over again that you can get beaten and tattered signs. But, you know, when you're not in an HOA community or you're not restricted on the sign that you can have based on the city limits or whatever it is that in Australia and New Zealand, they have these huge picture signboards. I know that there's an agent in Melbourne, right, that used to take in a full like 6 feet by I don't know, 4 feet sign with photos of the listing. Obviously, he would sell more signboards than anybody else into the listing presentation himself, walk in the front door with it. Like, that's incredible.
The signboards there are the biggest understatement I've ever heard in my life, because they are called billboards in every other part of the world. like they are not signboards at all. They are billboards on a highway in front of this house, and they are massive. And they work both from a property standpoint, from a property marketing on busy roads and everything like that. They work great. But also from an agent marketing standpoint, they are tremendous. And we designed, so me and my team, when we were over in Australia, we designed the new signboards. We helped put everything together. And the biggest question was, how big can we put our face on them? And I understand that 100%, because it's not always going to be the property that you're marketing. Sometimes those signboards are used strictly to tell the neighbors, this is who's listing this property. And they work tremendously from that standpoint.
Well, again, I think that if we could get a little creative with that here, you don't have to go to the extent that they're, you know, 8 foot by, you know, 4 feet or whatever it is. Okay. But what you can do is like something, there's a company called White Fox in Melbourne in Australia that they are known for their marketing initiatives. And they obviously put the signboard up with the photos of the interior of the property. And then they also put a story of the success of that property. Once it is sold, an overlay goes over it and gives a full case study that's sitting there for 2 or 3 weeks. Like I often say to agents, leave the sold sign up as soon as the property is unconditional or non-contingent, I should say, okay? And that's going to be 2 weeks until it closes. And that's 2 weeks of promotion in that marketplace. But then you also mentioned as well, Chris, you know, going down the professional photography route and the video route, we are in the age of content. And let's say that you are paying for the marketing as an agent. You are paying for the future content because you own the rights to that content then if you've paid for it. And then you can have it chopped up, done whatever you need to. And that's your social media for a long period of time or whatever you need to promote.
So I used to do professional photo and video for a lot of real estate agents around the San Diego area and all of Southern California. And it was awesome. But I oftentimes got the call, hey, you know, we're going to cancel this shoot because this home's going to sell in the next couple of days. We already got, you know, 17 offers or whatever it was in the crazy, crazy times. And I always told them, hey, I think you should keep this shoot. It's a beautiful property. It is an absolutely beautiful property. And you can use these photos and these video to then market yourself in the future. You can put them in every single one of your listing presentations, kind of show the market, show the farm exactly which property sold. And it's not your cell phone photo at that point. And you're actually putting results on your website. You can use them anywhere you want. So website, Instagram, listing presentations, future flyers, like door knocking campaigns, anything you could think of. Like I know photographers are always kind of stifly when it comes to their image licenses, but you're paying for that image license and to promote that property as well as that agent at that point. So from that standpoint, I would use these for everything, portfolios, everything.
So we'll keep going with some examples here. I'm just trying to prove that these are nothing that we are thinking outside the box or something that's completely different. It is just enhancing, injecting steroids into that traditional idea of a signboard, a traditional idea of photos and video, you know, all of that stuff to have that consistency.
And it's also just explaining this in your listing presentation and
having prompts and everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Just having it somewhere inside of your listing presentation that so when you go to there and you go to compete against 2, 3, 4 other realtors, that you're actually talking about marketing when they're not, because they're scared of it, because they don't fully understand the exposure, the eyeballs, the points of, you know, exposure creates competition, competition creates better price. Like if you can clearly put that into a listing presentation and give them a deliverable at the end of it and say, ask the next realtor who comes through this living room to talk about marketing. I dare you. And then when that happens, guaranteed, they're going to be the one calling you afterwards. Like it just happens.
So some more examples, mate, like I'll lead in with another example that I've seen work really well is that, for example, we were pitching on this listing that was an $18 million oceanfront here. And we actually, what we did is that for the realtor that we were pitching with on that listing. They'd been established for quite a long time. Some may or may not know who he is. It's Bob Wolf. I said to Bob, how many people on your database, you know? And he's like, oh, I don't know, probably 4,000 people. I'm like, great. What we're going to do is we're going to print that out. We printed it out and we had this big stack of paper that we took in. Now, obviously, we didn't leave the list there with the sellers. That wouldn't be appropriate. But bam, here is why you're going to employ this agent, is because they've got a big stack database. Now, if you don't have a database, you can actually buy database of wealthy individuals in North America. Print it out. Take that in there. Show that you're going to be marketing and calling those. Also, if it's for luxury property, what we did, we printed out every single family law office that manages high net worth individuals. We printed out every name of those within Southern California and then also all the other major cities in North America. And we showed them that we were going to send them a package that looked like this to them, and we're going to personally call them to follow it up as well. Okay. If it's luxury listings, we need to think outside of the box in that sense, but that really isn't outside of the box. That's just showing that you're doing your job.
No, and we used to do the same thing. So we used to do the same thing, but not print everything out because I didn't want to burn a bunch of trees. So it was one of those things. I always had my computer on me. So I walked through and I opened up my database and I said, here's all the people currently in my database. And I have them categorized based on buyers, based on, you know, farm areas, based on what their interests are, based on agents, based on everything. And so I would walk them through this and I would say, and this is, again, what you should be putting in your listing presentation or when you're having these conversations. You should have the next steps of how you're going to showcase this property specifically to those people. So you should have, we send out emails like this. We send out, we target them like this.
Examples. Like, here's the template. This is how good it looks. Like all of those different things. Like it's worthwhile getting it. It's worthwhile getting it designed. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Have templates that are out there. So have, you know, your typical SMS template that you send out for properties and that you could show them. You could say, this is how we marketed, you know, the last property that was in this area. And even if it wasn't just, you know, put together, if it's your first property in that area, put together a marketing plan because it is your first one, and then you'll have it for the future ones as well. But basically, this is what we do for this area. This is the success we've had. This is the open rates we usually get. This is the amount of eyeballs we usually get. This is the amount of clicks we usually get. Walk through those specific statistics for them. And I guarantee you're going to see their eyes open. Sellers will love the numbers that you're actually going through detail with them. And you're not afraid at that point. You're showing confidence in your marketing skills at that point.
Yeah, great. I think that another thing that is important, that if you are adding auction into your repertoire, guys, is printing off the Zillow, Trulia, Redfin, you know, Realtor.com reports, and you can actually show how much more activity your auction properties are getting versus a local traditional listings. We usually see 2 to 3 times the volume of online traffic, okay? We get in excess of 1,000% more online traffic on every single auction versus that traditional listing. Obviously, for the appropriate reasons. That just leads back into, you can market, but if you market with the right process, it has better reach, better catch, better audience, and then taking that in and showing that level of exposure that you're able to create for them.
Yeah. And I would say, Ben, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Australian listing presentation, I would say over half of it is talking about marketing.
Right? No question. That's all it is.
Yeah. It's the entire listing presentation. Then it's some things talking about, you know, your experience in the neighborhood and how long you've been around and everything like that, like a little bit of that. And I would say flip that. It's the exact opposite. For a USA listing presentation where, you know, 75%
of
that.
They spend most of their time on comps, Chris.
Yeah, or they talking about themselves. So it's either the comps in the marketplace or how I'm going to put a price on your property. Why are we already talking about the pricing at that point? And then second, it's me. It's like, here's the charity that I do. Here is the, you know, accolades I have. Here are the reviews I have. Here's the testimonials. Like, again, at the end of the day, how is that going to help me get more exposure and eyeballs to my listing?
Oh, absolutely. So just to give an outline of what my process used to be when I'd walk into a home and ask for marketing, because that was what I was there to do, is that I would go in and say, Mr. and Ms. Seller, we're not going to call it marketing today. We're actually going to call it peace of mind. What level of peace of mind do you want when you sign the dotted line for a price or an offer on your property, or you accept an offer on auction day, that you know that everything has been done in order to get you the highest possible price from the best buyer that is out there in this individual market? What level of peace of mind do you want? Well, Ben, we want the most amount of peace of mind. Great. So I'm going to show you a marketing budget here. It is $150,000, okay? Now, I'm not saying that you spend that, but I'm just saying to you, if you want the utmost, and I mean no doubt in your mind that every single person in Australia is going to see your listing, $150,000 to be on the national news, to be on this magazine, this, and priced it out. So therefore, I'd set a basis to show them that if you want the utmost peace of mind, then that is it right there. However, then whatever I was to show them next around the $10,000, $8,000 mark is that it would obviously have some better effect of managing expectations around that number. It just came down to that level of peace of mind that they would want. And I would present always three options. There would be a low range, a mid range, and a higher range. And that higher range would be much higher. That lower range would be much lower, so that we knew that the middle tier version of this was enough. Because we always wanted to make sure that we could, show also from previous existing campaigns that we had run on the low side. If we go with the low option of only $6,000, this typically yields a result of about 40 people through your property is what we have seen. Now, obviously, there's different characteristics, different areas, but these are the averages. Then if we step it up to the medium campaign here at around, $8,500, $9,000, that results in about 70 to 80 people, 80 groups of people through the front door. So more exposure, more option, and then so on and so forth. So then that would obviously make a decision. But what that took is a great deal of detail of getting people to say yes to that marketing and then tracking it. It was the only way that we could actually get to the point of being able to use these numbers in a listing presentation to have effect of them saying no. If they say, no, I don't want to go with that package, no problem. Just so we're clear, you're comfortable saying no to an extra 30 people through the front door that possibly could pay more. Right? It was all of those different things. And I'm not saying that we should go about it that way in the US. All I'm saying is that you should go down the factors of everything that you do and what yield they bring. So for example, if we go here, we would expect this many people from that individual piece of marketing. So then you can show a graph of all types of different places that you get your inbound inquiry for that property. It's like our business planning template, okay, that you can download through the links that are all over our website, blah, 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 podcasts and YouTube and stuff. But we show a diversity in prospecting. Is it coming from door knocking, farming, micro farming, sphere, cold calling, all of that type of stuff, showing diversity.
And the funny part is I might be more bullish than you. So like I might, and this might be the one time in history someone is more bullish than Mr. Brent Brady over there, but I think you should have packages inside of your listing presentation that walk through this. I think you should have, and even if it's still coming out of your agent pocket, but you're walking through different packages for single family home, for condo, and you have these packages. So my team built the listing presentation.
That's a great idea to have the different thought process to show them. Even if they're not a condo, hey, this is what we do for condos, the different style of marketing. This is what we do for family homes. This is what we do for smaller homes. That's so important.
Exactly.
Wow, that's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Based out of square footage if you want to. So here's our, 1,000 to 2,000 square foot package. Here's our, 2,000 to 3,000. Here's our 4,000 plus. Like if you want to do it that way. Yeah.
Quantifying the investment, Chris, so that then show the number that you're paying, so that then they see value. Sorry, I'm cutting you off left from right. No. I'm getting passionate about this.
100%. If you're showing the value at that point, then they think that, then they actually know that you are working for them and you're marketing their property. But we built the listing presentations in Australia that had these bronze, silver, gold, and platinum packages. And they were vendor paid marketing packages 100%. And so they would have different tiers. We would then show, we clearly showed them, you start with the platinum, you walk through the platinum, and then you set expectations at that platinum, which is absolutely ludicrous. It's everything from, we're going to get on 9 News and we're going to do all these things. Like it was everything. And then you then show them, the bronze package, and they would always land somewhere in between. They would always want to land in between. And if they do pick the bronze package or they pick nothing at that point, you'd let them know that it's not only going to be less eyeballs to the property, but it's going to be more time on the market most likely. Mm. And you're going to be sitting there because you're not getting the exposure that you want. So you're not going to get the results that you want. And if you walk through the same thing of what agents are not doing for your property, and you walk them through that, if they don't have if you clearly explain to sellers, these agents don't have a marketing plan, then your property is going to sit there longer trying to get the same exposure. Your property is going to be lumped in with every single other property on Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com, and the MLS, and there's going to be no points of differentiation or value to a potential buyer. If you walk them through that and you show them from that standpoint, this is why you need to go with one of our packages and why you would trust us to market your property and sell your property, then you're going to win. You're going to win at that point. It's just going to happen. And so that's the beauty of actually clearly articulating your marketing packages. And if you do break them into categories, I think that is a win. I think if you have that clearly explained and you know what markets well in each marketplace, and it could be, you know, this is my La Jolla package and I service La Jolla, Pacific Beach, and, you know, Carlsbad or something, whatever. And so probably wouldn't, but if I do La Jolla, Pacific Beach, and then Del Mar, and so say those are probably my three. And
so then you have the different, right.
Okay. This is what it takes to sell a La Jolla property. I need that database of these high end, high net worth individuals. I need that piece. While in Pacific Beach, you know, I might be marketing to a much younger demographic. So I might be looking towards, you know, or an investor at that point. So I might be looking to a completely different demographic at that stage, and I need to reach them accordingly. And so
if you're in a transitional marketplace where, like, say California to Oregon or Oregon to Idaho or whatever it may be, where you're getting a great deal of inbound people, is that how are you marketing to capture those inbound people first, you know, in order to get them to that property? But Chris, I guess that the final thing that I want to go through, because it would be remiss of me in order to not finish out the episode from a marketing perspective, is not to go back to the auction perspective, is that I often say to sellers is that when it comes to the approach that we need to take for your property, we need to outprice and we need to outprofile, where traditional real estate is that you either outprice or you outprofile. You typically don't do both. And auction provides us with the opportunity to do both, because not only does it outprice everybody with the competition, with the bidding to start from and the word auction that attracts the entire market, because we've never met somebody that wants to pay too much. It also obviously our profiles because of the set time and date and the timeline of which it's going for, but it also actually really enhances all of the traditional marketing that happens by default. We're getting that 43% more people to the front door and 1,000% more exposure on all of those traditional elements anyway. If you're an agent using auction, you don't even need to get creative with marketing. You just need to show that you're using a superior level of sale in order to, you know, enhance the marketing that is already happening on the property.
The other thing I would say too, my final point is, I would say two things real quick, is I would have an a la carte package somewhere in your listing presentation where you can understand what's important to them, and then they can check a box directly on your listing presentation that a la carte marketing pieces, which could be, you know, a full deep dive section on auction and why it's important from a pricing standpoint. The second thing I would say is the more you talk about marketing in your listing presentation, the less you talk about comps, the more pricing is not going to be a factor when other realtors come in and offer that or pretend that they can get more on the market for whatever reason. And so they come in, they say, no, your home's actually worth $1 million, not 950. And so, but I came in there at 950. Of course, they're going to go choose the realtor that's $1 million, that says they're going to get $1 million for their property. But are they realistic? They can't control the market. They can't control what a buyer is going to pay for this property. And neither could I. I only estimated that it would come in at 950 because of what I saw. They came in and said $1 million. Now, if I talk about that for 5 minutes and they talked about it for 40 minutes, it's a completely different conversation, because I'm talking about for 45 minutes, I'm talking about the marketing of the property to get the most money. And the 950 is just my starting point at that point. Yeah. While they're saying, that's what we're going to get, this is what we're going to get, who cares?
It's along the lines of, hey, look, if it's out there, like, don't get me wrong, 950 is where we've come in at, but if $1 million out there, we're going to be the ones with this marketing plan to get it for you. I'm not saying that 950 is automatically going to restrict us, and my opinion of it's going to restrict us. Our marketing will cast the net far enough that if it's out there, if more is out there, we will be the ones to get it for you because of the way that we're going to focus on this.
100%.
There's some real gold in there, guys, okay, with Chris the Marketing Messiah. No, did it hit? I don't know.
Nah.
We'll work on something different the next time. But either way, thanks for your time, Chris.
Thank you.
So about 75% of our audience hasn't liked, followed, or subscribed to our podcast. It would mean the world to us, and it would help this podcast more than you know to expand our reach if you were to like, follow, or subscribe on any of the platforms that you're watching or listening on. Thanks again.